Hare Krishna. Krishna tells us in Sri Bhagavad Gita that he is the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent, the ability in every living being, the miracles of nature are the miracles of God. Do you hear those jackals? That's jackals, you know. They're having a jackal kirtan in Navadvip. Every jackal, as far as I have learned, thinks that there's no more beautiful sound than the song of a jackal. But nobody else likes the jackal song. Everything is very relevant. So just by hearing the jackals, they're singing together so much. So many, dozens and dozens and dozens, and they're enjoying. And we're disturbed. At least, we could be. But if we just think, you know, how the jackals are so attracted to their beautiful songs, and when they hear us singing, they probably think the same way we think of jackals. So there's a philosophical lesson in every situation in life if we're receptive. Think of it this way. When those little mosquitoes come to bite you, raise your hand if you have been bitten by any mosquito since coming to Mayapur. We could be thrilled when we feel mosquitoes biting us. Because what an incredible invention. The mosquito flies. And man, we've made airplanes. We need runways. We need radar. We need air traffic control. We need all kinds of safety devices. But a mosquito just flying in the air, no runway. And when you go to slap him, the mosquito doesn't, you know, all of a sudden start taking off on your arm. As soon as the mosquito sees that your hand's coming, it's gone. Flying off to another destination. Incredible. What is the size of a mosquito's brain? Yet such incredible intelligence for flying. He can fly under one lamp. I have seen street lamps. Thousands of mosquitoes flying together, swarming around. I've never seen any two mosquitoes crash into each other. For our airplanes, we need all sorts of traffic control so that planes don't crash. Thousands within a few square feet, and they're just flying, 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 taking off, landing. Where do they get their ability from? None of them went to schools for being pilots. Their mothers didn't learn, you know, the engineering of aerodynamics. It's just intuitive. Krishna has given the ability of a mosquito to do what humans can never do. And every human has so many incredible abilities. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Krishna tells that it is foolish to be bewildered into thinking that we are the doer of our activities. Because everything we have been given and everything we can do is a gift. To breathe, to see, to think, to hear, to digest. Sarva karana karanam. All these things exist only because they exist in the Absolute Truth. Jadmadyasya yataha. The Vedanta Sutra tells the Absolute Truth is whom from everything emanates. Everything has its ultimate source in Krishna. So one may question, what about the evil and the bad and the greed and the envy and the pain that this all causes? If Krishna is the cause of everything, then is he the cause of that too? A shadow is the absence of the sun. But the cause of the shadow is the sun. You can't have a shadow without a sun. When you turn toward the sun, you see light. When you turn away from the sun, you see the darkness of the shadow. So Krishna is all good. There is nothing inauspicious. Everything is Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam. Everything is perfect. Krishna is infinite compassion, infinite love, infinite humor, infinite sweetness, infinite strength, infinite wealth, infinite everything in its perfect auspiciousness. But when the jiva, the living entity who has free will, and that free will is a gift to facilitate the deepest, purest love, when we misuse our free will and turn away from Krishna, then that yoga maya appears to us as Mahamaya, the shadow. And within that shadow, all of these inauspicious anartas or unwanted things exist. We read in Srimad Bhagavatam how Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill with the little finger of his left hand. And we think, how is that possible? But how is it possible for the mosquito to fly the way he's flying so expertly? Krishna's performing his miracles everywhere. And when he comes to this world, he performs incredible pastimes in such a way to attract our hearts. And the Absolute Truth, who's beyond morality and immorality, the Absolute Truth, as Krishna, sometimes even steals and even says, "No, Mother, I didn't eat the dirt." And while he's saying that, the dirt's in his mouth. We may say, why would Krishna do that? What kind of example is that? We can't understand Krishna simply by our mundane logic. We have to understand from Guru Sadhu Shastra, from the enlightened beings. Because when Krishna does this, it brings such joy and awakens such
blissful love in the hearts of the devotees. You see, immorality is when we say something contrary to truth for selfish purposes. Krishna said, I didn't steal. It gives bliss to us. But another thing is he's telling the truth. Because Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, everything already belongs to Krishna. So he doesn't steal. It's already his. It's like if somebody, if you go into your home and you put your clothes on, and then you go outside, somebody says, why did you steal that clothes? It's my clothes. But actually, it's not your clothes. It's Krishna's clothes. Everything is Krishna. Anytime we claim proprietorship over anything, we're stealing on a subtle level. But everything belongs to Krishna. And when Krishna tells his mother, I didn't eat dirt. Nothing is inside or outside of Krishna, in one sense. The entire cosmic manifestation is within Krishna. So, when we try to put relative conventions on the absolute, we cripple our capacity to actually appreciate and love the absolute. But when we try to give absolute justifications to our relative state of mind, then we cripple our own capacity to make any spiritual progress whatsoever. Does that make sense? So Krishna, who's the strength of the strong, the ability in man, in his original form of Lord Chaitanya, we learned yesterday how he was born like an incredible orchestra conductor. Yes, he was, through his yoga maya, his energies, he was just conducting this whole orchestra of a lila. At the moment he was born, millions and millions of people in all directions here in the Nadia district were loudly crying out God's holy name. Appeared. It's very symbolic because Krishna is non different than his name. Lord Gauranga is non different than his name. When we chant with sincere heart, the Lord appears within that sound vibration. And the Lord actually appeared. And similarly, Srila Prabhupada would tell us when we chant the name with humility, without offenses, with love, then Krishna reveals himself to us within our hearts, perhaps even before our eyes, according to his sweet will. As a little infant baby, he seemed so helpless. And every little thing that may have happened anywhere around the house, induced deeper and deeper feelings of parental affection, not only for his own mother and father, but for all of his relatives and all of the neighbors and all the people who knew him. And after some time, the Lord learned to crawl on his knees. And as he crawled, just the little tiny golden form crawling around was so beautiful. And all of his loving devotees around him, in order to protect the innocence and the sweetness of their love for him, he would not allow them to sense that he was actually the Supreme Personality of God. They were all pure devotees of God, and they loved him even more than God. How could you love anyone more than God? Because if you're God, you can make somebody love you more than God. That's what Lord Chaitanya would do. But they didn't even understand what was happening. They just loved him unconditionally. And Lord Chaitanya would do so many beautiful things, like Krishna in Vrindavan, to intensify, excite the sweetness of their love. One day, at the Yogapita, where Mahaprabhu was born, the house of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, there was a little courtyard in front of their home. And little Nimai was crawling. And suddenly, a gigantic, monstrous, poisonous serpent crawled into the courtyard. They had a little fence around it, but somehow that serpent crawled around the fence. And when little Nimai saw that, the serpent was many, many, many times bigger than him. He was a little baby. When little Nimai saw that serpent, he became so enthusiastic. He crawled as fast as he could. He crawled, he crawled, he crawled, he crawled. And he grabbed the tail of the snake and held onto it as tight as he could. And the snake was trying to get away. And he kept pulling, and the snake was going away, and he kept pulling. The snake could not escape his little tiny baby grip. So the snake made a coil. Now sometimes, I remember recently I was in one community, a devotee community, and I was showing some people around of how nice and how beautiful it was. And we saw this little piece of wood, and it looked like a nice piece of wood. And I lifted it, and there was this gigantic snake in a coil. And he looked up at us, and his tongue was going. And we put the wood down. And my godbrother, he said, you know, this. I thought it was supposed to be so nice up here. I said, it is, you know. But, you know, coiled up poisonous snakes look quite ferocious, actually. But little Nimai, he saw this big, big snake with so many coils. And he crawled on top of the coils and went to sleep. It's like a very comfortable bed. Really. I mean, think about it. If you're not afraid of snakes, it would really be a comfortable bed. All these modern beds, they have like, you know, this certain textures and different, and, you know, they kind of move to your body. Well, nothing could compare to a snake's coils. So Nimai just laid on the snake and started smiling. And his relatives, his mother, his father saw this big, big snake with big, big teeth. They were horrified. What could they do? The special effects. Howling of wolves and jackals. They were afraid to get near. If they went near the snake may, you know, bite the little Lord or wrap its coils and strangle the Lord. Little Nimai. They couldn't do anything. Put yourself in that position. Here is this helpless little baby who you love more than life itself, laying in the coils of a venomous serpent. They were weeping, crying. Some of them were shouting out from their heart of hearts, "Garuda, Garuda, you are the Lord's servant who kills snakes. Please save Nimai from this snake." They didn't know what to do. And as they were crying, the snake saw what kind of suffering he caused everyone. So he came out of his coils and started to slither away. And as he was slithering away, little Nimai was following behind him, trying to grab his tail and bring him back. And just at that time, Sachimote and the ladies, they ran and picked up Nimai and took him away. And as soon as they put him down, he started crawling back to the snake to grab the snake and bring him back. And they kept bringing him. They started chanting mantras to take any inauspicious dangers away from their little baby. And they brought Ganga water and sprinkled on his limbs to purify him from any dangers that may come. We learn that that snake was actually Anantashesha, the Lord's supreme eternal associate, who came to share this beautiful pastime with the Lord. And in this wonderful story, we learn how the dynamics of bhakti, how for a devotee who is aspiring to love Krishna, even the dangerous challenges that may come in our life are impetuses to increase that love. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, tells anyone who hears and understands this story with faith will be forever delivered from ever having to suffer from the snake of birth and death. Hare Krishna. So they would bring Nimai back in the house, and gradually he learned how to walk. And his first steps were to dance in kirtan. Because he, from his very day of his birth, he taught everyone that nothing makes him happier than the chanting of Hare Krishna. Govinda, Hari, Rama, Vanamali, Mukunda, Murari, whenever they were singing Krishna's holy names, he would smile, and as soon as he started learning to walk, he danced. What a beautiful dance. He was such a little child, but his dance was so perfectly graceful. So innocent, so sweet. Not like a professional actor dancer. His dancing simply melted their hearts totally. Forever, for all eternity, a devotee could just sit and watch Nimai dance and never get bored. You never need to go to another station or do something else, because his beauty and his sweetness and his dance is ever increasing. And in that dance, when Krishna is dancing for his devotees, he's offering his infinite love to his devotees through that form. And the devotees are receiving it and offering their love and gratitude back. And the love for the devotees is increasing as the Lord's love is increasing. So the Lord's dance is more beautiful and the devotees' appreciation is more beautiful. This is the spiritual consciousness. they would clap their hands and chant Hari Hari, and Nimai would dance and smile. And he felt so grateful. All of a sudden, he would run out of the house. Little tiny boy, just run out of the house. And he'd go into the street. He was so beautiful with his golden complexion, his lotus-like eyes, and his beautiful curling hair around his moon-like face. And anybody who saw him on the street outside fell in love with him, even if they never knew him. And they would do anything for him just to make him happy. And say, oh, child, what can I give you? What could I give? And he'd say, give me bananas. Give me coconut. Give me sandesh sweets. And they would just give him for free, just to please him. And what he would do is he would get a bunch of bananas from somebody. He'd go out and beg for them. And he'd run back in. And the ladies would sing for him, and he would start dancing and smiling, and he'd give them bananas. And then in the kirtan, he'd run outside and smile, and people would say, what would you like? Give me sandesh. They'd give him sandesh, and he'd run back in and distribute to all of the devotees. Sing. Charming their hearts, reciprocating with their love. This is bhakti. The Lord gives us the power to sing, and if we sing for Him with affection, He feels so grateful. He feels so indebted. He feels conquered by the love of the devotee through their song. And He's our creator, and He's given us the ability to sing. This is God's greatness. One time when the Lord was playing near the bank of the Ganga, there were two thieves. They saw that Sachimata had put very nice ornaments. The Lord had little ankle bells and bracelets, little necklace. They wanted to steal it. And this is the easiest thing. A little tiny child who's just learning walking, running, just kind of walking around alone. But there were thousands and thousands of people near that bathing ghat. So how to steal from a baby? So they had a plan. They got some sandesh. And they said, child, you're lost. Oh, our child, our beloved family member, let us take you home. Here, have some sandesh. And they picked up little Nimai and put him on their shoulders. And as everybody was watching, they were saying, yes, our little child, we will take you home. We were taking home. We missed you so much. And Nimai was smiling and he was eating sandeshes. And meanwhile, they were meditating. I'll get his bangles. I'll get his bracelet. There's some little jewels there. That's going to be mine. But for Nimai, he was just happy. He was getting a ride, riding on their shoulders, because he's a little boy. He's getting to see Navadvip from a very elevated position. And they were going to their secret hideout. They had been there so many times, they knew where it was. Meanwhile, back at Nimai's house, the relatives were looking all over for him. He didn't come home, he wasn't around. They were asking everybody, have you seen Nimai? Nobody saw Nimai. Time passed. They were searching frantically in all directions, and there was nowhere else to search. How far could a little boy go? So they were sitting in their homes with their heads in their hands, weeping. Where is Nimai? Praying to God, bring home Nimai. It was anguish. And Nimai was smiling and kind of like dancing around on their shoulders, eating sweets. They were just to keep him from crying. They kept feeding him. And then they came to where they thought was their secret hideout. And they said, "Oh, child, now we've come to your home. So please, now you could get down." And Nimai looked, and they actually took him back to his home. They were under such an illusion, they were standing right in front of his front door. And there, just a few feet away, were Jagannath Mishra and Sachidevi and all the relatives crying, thinking, "Where is Nimai? Where is Nimai?" And they thought this was their secret hideout. They said, "Oh, child, now we are home. Just get down." And little Nimai said, "Yes, now I'm at home. I will get down." And they brought him down, and Nimai ran right inside and right into his mother's arms. "Oh, Nimai, you have returned. Where have you been? How have you been?" And all the relatives were, "Oh, such a relief." They were celebrating. After that separation, not knowing if he was safe, seeing him again was ecstasy. Somebody asked, "You know, where were you?" And somebody said, "I just saw the two grown men just brought him home." Meanwhile, in the middle of all this commotion, the thieves thought, "What happened? What kind of magic spell came over us? This is not our hideout. And this is his parents. We kidnapped him, and now we're standing right in front of his parents." But seeing that they were all celebrating, and they were all looking at Nimai, "Let's escape." So while everybody was in their own commotion, they ran away. They ran and ran and ran. They ran so fast in such fear. And finally, when they looked around a distance away that nobody was following them, they thought, "Goddess Durga has saved us." And they asked Nimai, "What happened?" And Nimai said, "Oh, I was playing near the bank of Ganga, and I got lost. I didn't know where to go. And these two nice men picked me up and brought me home." They were thinking, "Oh, we must reward them." So they made nice, beautiful silken turbans. And they ran out to give to the men, but they couldn't find them anywhere. Those two thieves they gave pleasure to the Lord, even though their motivations were very selfish. The Lord had fun riding on their shoulders and eating their sweetmeats. Those are thieves. In course of time, attained the supreme perfection because of the service that they had rendered. And Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, by hearing this story, all inauspiciousness in our heart is stolen away, and we attain firm devotion to the Supreme Lord. During these little childhood days of Nimai, every moment was something incredible. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat tells that if the Vedas had 10 million forms, and each form had 10 million mouths, they could not begin to explain the good fortune of Jagannath Mitra and Sachidevi. That the Supreme Personality of Godhead was living like a little child in their home. One day, a Brahmin came to their door He was a very special soul. He had no home. He just wandered around, constantly chanting the name of his worshipable Lord Gopal. And around his neck he had a shalagram shila and a deity of Gopal. And he would never eat anything that he didn't offer to Gopal. He came to Jagannath Misha's house, and Jagannath Misha saw the purity of this saintly person. So simple, had no possessions, but he had the greatest wealth, the wealth of love of God. Great kings during the cultured times would bow to those ascetics who had the wealth and the power of this love and compassion. Jagannath Mishra, he fell at the Brahman's feet. He held on to his feet and said, "My home is so fortunate that someone so great as you has come to bless it. Please tell me, where is your home?" The pilgrim said, "I have no home, I have no country. I wander from place to place, chanting the names of my beloved Gopal." Jagannath Mishra said, "Well, anyone who you visit is most blessed and fortunate. Please come into my house and we will prepare the kitchen and all the ingredients for you to cook and make an offering to Gopal." And everybody in the house said, "Please, please, please." So the Brahmin said, "If it pleases you, I will do." So he went in the kitchen, and with deep devotion, he prepared all of the various ingredients, including what Bengalis love the most, rice. And after he prepared it, he set up a nice little altar and put Shalagram Shila and little Gopal deity, his life, his soul. And he chanted a mantra calling Gopal to eat the bhoga. Just he was chanting little Nimai. He just very quietly ran up and stood right over the plate. He was very tiny. And with his right hand, he picked up a handful of rice and put it in his mouth. Then he looked with his lovely eyes at the Brahman and smiled. The Brahmin was shocked. He cried out, "Hi! Hi! This restless, naughty child has spoiled my offering to Krishna." Everyone looked up. Jagannath Mishra was so disturbed. "How could my child do this? I have to teach him." He went chasing after little Nimai, and Nimai looked at his father coming and ran away. The Brahmin grabbed Jagannath Mishra's hand. Nature. We are living in nature. The Brahmin said, he's just an innocent, tiny little boy. He doesn't even know what is right or what is wrong. You can't punish a child or chastise him. And Jagannath Misha said, if I don't teach him, how will he learn? He said, no, please don't. And all the people in the family said, Jagannath Misha, please. The pilgrim said, I can't eat this now because I can't offer it to Krishna because somebody else already ate from it. So just give me some fruits or roots if you have any. Jagannath Misra said, please, we will clean the kitchen again. We'll get more ingredients. Cook a second time. He said, it's already seen that my destiny is not to eat rice today. Just bring whatever fruits and roots you may have. I live in the jungle most of the time. That's all I ever get. It's very rare I get rice like this. And all the relatives pleaded with him, please, please, cook again. It will be such a shame if you come to our house and don't get nice prasad. He said, yes. If it pleases you, I will cook again. So they cleaned the whole kitchen and brought more ingredients, and he started cooking. And Sachimata took little Nimai and picked him up and brought him to a neighbor's house, and there was a whole group of ladies there, and she said, please watch my restless son and keep him with you at all times. So as the Brahmin was cooking, they were chanting and clapping, and Nimai was dancing and smiling. And they said, Nimai, why did you eat that food that was being offered by that pilgrim? And Nimai said, he called for me to eat, so I ate. They said, you don't even know who he is. You may get contaminated just by eating from a stranger like this. And Nimai said, he's a Brahmin and I'm a cowherd boy. And cowherd boys always like to eat from Brahmins. He was telling who he was. But they just laughed hysterically. It was so funny, but they couldn't understand that what he was saying is true. And he was smiling and playing with them and joking with them so sweetly. They became so enchanted that they just didn't even notice that he slipped away. Just as the Brahmin was chanting the mantra to call Krishna to eat. And the Brahmin looked up. And there was little Nimai, this beautiful golden complexion. He was covered with dust, clothed in only the four directions, with a handful of mouth being chewed. And Nimai just gazed at him with such love and smiled. The Brahmin cried out, hi, hi! Again, this child ruined the offering. At that point, Jagannath Misra picked up a stick, and Nimai saw that stick and jumped off and ran into a room. And Jagannath Misra ran after him, and Nimai shut the door, and Jagannath Misra went to open the door, and the Brahmin said, no, he doesn't know right from wrong. You can't chastise him. And everybody in the family was telling Jagannath Misra, please don't chastise. Please understand, Jagannath Misra, in his pure ecstatic love, he was impelled to teach his little son what is the right thing. He would have never hurt him. So Jagannath Misra just sat with his head in his hands again, feeling completely ashamed that this special, saintly pilgrim came to their house and can't even eat. At that point, Vishwaroop Nimai's elder brother, about 10 years older than him. He came into the room. He was so beautiful. An expansion of Lord Nityananda. And when this Brahmin saw Vishwarup, he couldn't stop looking at him. He asked, "Whose son is this?" The people said, "This is the son of Sachi and Jagannath Mishra." He said, "How fortunate, such parents." And Vishwarup, he was so well-mannered. He bowed down before his guest and said, "You are such a holy person who holds Gopal in his heart and reveals Gopal wherever he goes. We are so fortunate that you have come to bless our home, but we are so unfortunate and we are so ashamed because you have to fast in our house. Please cook again." He said, "I've already cooked twice. It's already almost midnight. Just give me some fruits and roots, if you have any in the house." And Vishwarup said, "It's not so late. It's a very good time for cooking. Please cook again. Because saintly people like you, other people's happiness is your happiness. And we will be very happy if you cook again." And then everybody in the family started making the same request. Looking, he was so affectionate toward Vishwarup. He said, "If it pleases you, I will cook again." They cleaned the kitchen, brought more ingredients. Jagannath Mishra heard people say, "Let us lock and bolt the door that Nimai is in, and we'll keep a whole group of guards outside the door." And Jagannath Mishra said, "Yes, that is a good idea." And some of the ladies from inside said, "Nimai is fast asleep. He doesn't know anything except sleep at this moment. So no reason to be in anxiety." The pilgrim cooked, and just when he was finishing, by the will of little Nimai, who was fast asleep in his little bed, surrounded by ladies chanting Krishna's names, he sent Nidra Devi. Nidra Devi is the goddess of sleep. When she entered into the house, helplessly, effortlessly, everyone fell fast asleep, except the Brahmin. He chanted the mantra with the food in front of Gopal. As he chanted, he opened his eyes, and little Nimai was chewing on his rice with his hand in his mouth, smiling and gazing upon him. "Hi, hi.
Hi, hi.
Again, the child has spoiled my offering." But there was dead silence. If there were any jackals around, even they were asleep. Nobody heard him. And now it was just little Nimai face to face with this pilgrim. And Nimai looked at him very curiously with such innocent affection and said, "What is my fault? You called for me and I came. You offered the food to me, and because you're offering it with such love, I can't help from coming to eat it. I am that Gopal that you have made the object of all your love." At that moment, little Nimai manifested an incredible form. the pilgrim saw standing before him was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had eight arms. Four were the arms of Vishnu, holding the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. Two of his arms, one held a pot of butter, and the other was eating it. And two of his arms were playing a sweet, sweet song on a flute. His complexion was like a dark monsoon cloud. He had beautiful lotus-like eyes. His every limb was the essence of perfection. The Kostubha Mani was a jewel that was around his neck and resting on his chest that seemed to be illuminating all directions. He had a garland of gunja, seeds, holy seeds from Vrindavan. In his beautiful hair, there was a little crown made of malati flowers and a peacock feather. A Vajayanti mala, a beautiful garland made out of wild, celestial, unfading flowers that extended below his knees. Behind Nimai, he saw a divine Kadamba tree, and he saw the holy river Yamuna. And there he saw all around, there were beautiful Sarabi cows, loving gopis and gopas. Exactly what he meditated upon his whole life, now he was seeing directly in front of his eyes. In uncontrolled ecstasy, this pilgrim fainted. Nimai, with his soft touch of his hand, brought him back to consciousness. He looked up again, and there was Goloka Vrindavan manifested with Krishna and Krishna's dearmost associates. He fainted again, came back, saw, fainted, came back, had darshan, fainted. And then Nimai spoke. He said, "Birth after birth, you have been my pilgrim beggar. You do not remember, but I remember. In your last birth, you came to Mahavan Gokul when I was just baby Krishna. And you came to beg from Nanda Maharaj. And he provided all the ingredients for you to cook. And in the same little form, I came and stole your offerings then." He said, "You do not remember, but I do. You are my eternal loving associate. And whenever, wherever you offer with such love and devotion, I must come to accept. In this incarnation, I will establish the Sankirtan movement, the congregational chanting of the holy names. I will spread prema bhakti, the highest perfection of life, the ecstasy everyone is longing for. I will spread it throughout the countries and throughout the world, village to village, town to town." "You should not tell anyone what you have seen, but you should remain in Navadvip and come and secretly watch my transcendental pastime." Then Nimai resumed his little form again and went back into the room, laid in his little bed, and went to sleep. This Brahmin was so ecstatic. He couldn't control himself anymore. he started crying out, Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal. He was picking up the rice. That was the rice that he offered. That was the rice the Lord accepted. That was the rice that the Lord ate. And in his delirium of ecstasy, he was not only eating the rice, but he was smearing the rice on every limb of his body. And he was dancing all around the house, crying out, Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal. You kind of sound like the jackals. Much louder, please. Thank you, thank you. Everyone woke up. They heard the pilgrim, Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal, what's happening, what's happening? They didn't know why they were sleeping. They didn't even know they were sleeping. All of a sudden, they came running to see what happened, and they saw this person, tears pouring from his eyes, his hair standing on end, rice smeared on every limb of his body, dancing around the house, chanting, Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal, Jai Gopal. This is a very grave pilgrim. They're looking like, what happened? And he became very calm. And right in front of them, he kind of turned and started washing his body. And he sat down. He said, the offering was complete, and now I'm eating prasad. He wanted to tell them so bad that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, the cause of all causes, the Krishna, Gopal of Vrindavan, is living in your house. If I tell you this good news, your lives will be absolutely perfect. But I'm not allowed to tell you. This is what he was thinking. He never left Navadvip. He just lived in the area of Navadvip, and every single day he would come and watch little Nimai's pastimes. And secretly surrender his heart, his soul, his life. Anyone who hears this pastime with faith will get the benediction of personally meeting Krishna. Shall I continue? One day Nimai cried, and everyone was so excited. Ah, he's crying, we will chant and he will be happy. So they were clapping, 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 and chanting, Hari, Hari. And little Nimai, the more they chanted, the more he cried. They were very confused, because seeing him cry was so painful to their heart. They said, Nimai, you always are happy whenever we chant. We're chanting. And more people were coming to join the kirtan. They were chanting louder and more intensified. And Nimai kept crying. He said, Nimai, what is it? What can we do for you?
And little Nimai, he said, if you want to save my life, there's one thing you can do for me. Nearby, there is the house of Hiranya and Jagadish Pandit. Today is Ekadasi, a fast day, and they have cooked a very special feast for their deity of Krishna. Go and bring that feast for me to eat. That will save my life.
Sachimata. She said, how could we do this? This is against religious principles. Today's Ekadasi. How can you take what belongs to Vishnu? We're not allowed to eat those things on this day. And other people in the house said, he's just a child. We have to do whatever he wants.
Jagannath Mishra, he loved Jagadish and Hiranya Pandit as his dearmost friends, because he knew they were such humble, pure, exalted devotees.
So he went to their house and gave the message to them. As soon as they heard that message, they were thrilled. They said, how could this tiny little child have known?
We never make feasts like this on Ekadasi for the Lord. Somehow or other, we were inspired to make an incredible, elegant feast
for our deity on this day of Ekadasi. For him to know this means that Krishna must be living in his heart. Now, they didn't say he was Krishna. They said Krishna must be living in this little baby's heart. Otherwise, how could he know?
And with great excitement, Krishna wants to eat this offering for this baby. So they brought the whole offering.
And they laid out all these dozens and dozens of wonderful preparations and put them in a circle around Nimai. And then everybody started chanting and clapping their hands, and Nimai was dancing. And he went to each preparation and took a little portion and ate it. Like that. And the kirtan was going, and he was eating, and he was dancing. And Jagadish and Hiranya, they considered this the ultimate perfection of their whole lives. That in the heart of this child, their beloved Lord was accepting their offering. One day, Nimai was playing with his little friends on the bank of the Ganga, and they found a litter or a little group of newborn puppies, puppy dogs. Somehow the mother was not there. She had given birth and she was gone. And there were these little puppies. They were just kind of jumping around. And the boys were playing with them. And Nimai took one little puppy and was playing with them. And one of his friends said, Nimai, why you took the most beautiful puppy? And left us with the ugly ones.
Children are children. Nimai said, no, we can all play with this puppy. I'll bring him to my house and we'll all come to his house and we'll all play. So they went to Nimai's house. When they went to the house, Sachimata was not home. She was with her friends at the Ganga. And Nimai was playing and all the children were playing. And they were taking the puppy and putting it on their heads, and they were running and dancing and putting embracing. And one of the children, same one, he started arguing with another child. And Nimai said, why every time we play, you always fight with us?
And he said, because you took the most beautiful puppy. And then he ran out. And as he was running, he saw Sachimata, Nimai's mother. And in great fit of anger, he said, Sachimata, you should see what your son is doing.
He's just a little boy.
He said, he brought a dirty, filthy dog into your house, a puppy dog. And your Nimai, he's embracing it, he's kissing it, he's putting it on his face, he's doing all these things. Sachimata said, my boy would never do that.
So she ran home, and when she came into the house, Nimai was holding the puppy, embracing the puppy, and all the little friends were playing with the puppy with Nimai. And Sachimata said, our house is a temple. It was just a little house. This is the temple of the Lord. You can't just bring animals in like this, bringing dogs. We're a family of Brahmins. What will happen to our reputation? What would happen to the cleanliness of our house? Why are you so mischievous? Why are you so restless? I don't know how I could live when you're doing things like this, Nimai. And Nehemiah said, but this puppy's so beautiful and I love him so much. Sachimata looked at Nehemiah and her heart melted. And she said, Nehemiah,
just bring the puppy in your house, in your room and play and forget about your mother and father.
And then she said, Nehemiah, let me embrace you. Let me kiss you. Let me feed you. And Nehemiah ran into her lap. And he said, I love this little puppy. Sachimata, she said, you must be hungry. You've been playing all day. Go to the river Ganga and take your bath, play with your friends, and come back and I'll have nice prasad for you. And I'll take care of your puppy. Said, you promise you'll take care of my puppy? She said, yes, I will take care of your puppy. She didn't say how she would take care of it. So Nehemiah tied the little puppy, the nice little thing, so that he would be safe. And then he went, he ran, he took some sandesh from his mother and then ran to the Ganga. And as he was playing with all his friends, Sachimata untied the puppy and sent the puppy away very sweetly. Puppy went. One of his friends saw this
and ran to the Ganga and said, Sachimata sent the puppy away. Nehemiah immediately jumped out of the river and ran home. Mata, Mata, my mother, where is the puppy?
She said, oh, puppy? Where is the puppy?
Said, you sent my puppy away.
She said, oh, I don't, where is the puppy?
He said, that puppy was so beautiful. I had such affection for that puppy. Don't you know how much you just hurt my heart?
And Sachimata said, please, eat your food and we will find the puppy. So he sat down to eat. Meanwhile, what happened to the puppy? Because he was touched by Nehemiah, he was so blessed that soon after that, the little puppy, just only this big, he went into the streets of Navadweep in front of hundreds, thousands of people and started chanting the holy names of Krishna. He was crying out in his little puppy voice, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda. How do puppies say it? Radha Govinda. Something like that. He was chanting very sweetly, not like those jackals. I was chanting Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna! He was chanting and chanting. He began to dance. And as he was dancing and chanting the Maha Mantra, tears, torrents of tears were pouring from his little puppy eyes. And his paws were raised above his head like this in ecstasy as he was dancing on his hind legs, and every single hair on his puppy body was standing erect in ecstasy. And all of his little puppy limbs were trembling uncontrollably as he was crying out Krishna's name. The people of Navadweep could not believe what they were seeing. This little baby dog dancing through the streets in ecstasy, chanting the Lord's holy names. It was so mesmerizing, so intense.
intoxicating that he was inducing everyone around him to raise their arms and chant loudly the Maha Mantra.
As everyone was looking on, absolutely hypnotized by this dog's attainment of the ultimate perfection. Right in front of our eyes, the dog fell to the ground dead. Krishna tells in Gita, Antakali cha mame vasmaran makam kaliva, that one who remembers me at the time of death attains me without fail. This puppy dog, in the ecstasy of ecstatic love, was performing kirtan at the moment of its death. And then right before everyone's vision, imagine seeing this, an incredibly elegant chariot from Goloka Vrindavan descended. It had magnificent domes and celestial divine people in it. And they picked up the little body of the puppy dog and put it on the chariot. And just then the puppy dog assumed his original eternal spiritual form. And that chariot brought the puppy bag back to Goloka Vrindavan, the abode of Krishna in the spiritual world. And as it was going through the sky, the demigods were watching. Brahma, Shiva, Indra. They were surrounding the chariot, giving all honor and respect and worship to that puppy dog. And with their heart of hearts, they began to sing the glories of Lord Chaitanya. We have seen so many avatars over the millenniums, but never, not even Krishna, did we see. Just take an ordinary little dog and within days, send him back to the spiritual world, the ultimate perfection of life. The son of Sachi is the most munificent, the most merciful, and the demigods, with tears in their eyes, they were praying. Will there ever be a time when we could be so fortunate to be blessed like this little puppy? By the mercy of Sachinanda. Nimai, one day, he was walking down the streets with some of his little friends. Very small boy. Very mischievous. And Murari Gupta was about 20 years older than him. Murari Gupta was born in a family of Ayurvedic doctors, a Vaidya, a great scholar. He was in the school of Gangadas Pandit, a descendant of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's learning institution. He was a great scholar. And he, with some of his students, was discussing the Yoga Vishishta, which is describing the absolute aspect of the Lord who is without form. And as he was speaking, very, very deep, profound philosophy, little Nimai started imitating him in a way that is very irritating. Like if, you know, if Murari Gupta would move his head a little to the side and take his hand and say, Brahma Satyam. And little Nimai would very exaggerated way move his hand and say, Brahma Satyam! Murari looked at him like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And Nimai would go, what are you doing? Murari Gupta said, just go home. And Nimai would just say, just go home. So he tried to ignore him. He got back into the philosophy with his students, and they were talking, and he was saying, yada yada hi dharmasya, and little Nimai would go, yada yada hi dharmasya. Murari Gupta said, why are you so restless? Why are you so naughty? Why are you irritating me so much? And Nimai just started imitating him again and mimicking him and laughing, and all the children were laughing at Murari Gupta like anything. That was the worst thing. Even Murari Gupta's students, they couldn't stop laughing. They couldn't help from laughing at their own teacher because Nimai was so expertly making fun of them. And Murari Gupta said, you have to please. Nimai said, today at lunch, I will give you the lesson. I will give you a good lesson at lunch today. So Murari Gupta went home. He had a wife. His wife served lunch to him, nice rice and sabjis. He forgot about what Nimai said. Meanwhile, little Nimai, he was dressed very special on that occasion. As Murari Gupta was eating, do you want to hear the story? As Murari Gupta was just very, very reverentially, gratefully honoring the prasad, little Nimai just very slowly, very quietly crept up, step by step, very mischievous. He was walking so slowly and so silently so that Murari Gupta would not know he was coming, because Murari Gupta was absorbed in eating. And little Nimai came right up to the plate, and Murari Gupta still didn't even notice it. He was still eating. In a most graceful, aesthetically pleasing, heart-enchanting, beautiful, merciful way, little Nimai passed urine right on the rice. Murari Gupta was shocked. He didn't know what. He's a scholar, He was trying to figure this out philosophically. He was speechless. Like, I just passed urine on my lunch. He looked up at Nimai, and Nimai was laughing and he was dancing. He said, I told you I will teach you a lesson. You forgot, but I told you I will teach you a lesson. And what was the lesson?
That Murari Gupta was a devotee. But mixing all sorts of other philosophies with pure devotion, philosophies that are contrary to pure devotion, is like putting urine on prasad.
Of course, Lord Chaitanya's urine is prasad itself.
And Nimai was dancing and saying, I told you I would teach you a lesson. I taught you everything today. And Murari Gupta, he was so philosophical, he figured out instantly exactly what Nimai actually just liberated him from all misconceptions and gave him a completely pure, exclusive understanding of what ecstatic love of God really is. That was the effect of his passing urine that day.
See, this is why this story is so beautiful. You know, if you or me pass urine on somebody's rice,
what's the benefit? But Nimai gave completely unadulterated the very summum bonum essence siddhanta of the Srimad Bhagavatam by passing urine on that rice to Murari Gupta.
And he's given it to the whole world for all time to come through that lesson if we hear this pastime with faith. Meanwhile, while he was dancing and chanting and singing and laughing, and Murari Gupta was looking. And then Nimai ran away. And Murari Gupta, you know, he just thought he was just a restless little boy. But somehow or other, at this moment, he became so completely enamored with spiritual love for this child. He ran after him. And little Nimai ran home and jumped in the arms of his father, Jagannath Mishra, and his father was kissing him and hugging him. And then he jumped into the lap of his mother, Sachimata.
And meanwhile, Murari Gupta, who was one of the most venerable, exalted scholars, doctors, Brahmins, respectable family man, he came in. And he saw this little tiny boy just being embraced by his parents. Murari Gupta was offering with folded hands his dandavats. He was laying himself prostrate on the floor again and again, bowing down and offering prayers to this little boy. And Sachi Devi and Jagannath looked at him like, Murari, what are you doing? What are you doing and why are you doing it? And Murari said, you don't know who your son is.
I have to make a confession. One day when I was in Mayapur and I heard these jackals howling, I was thinking someone was playing a recording of me singing kirtan. Anyways, you are all very tolerant. But on another day, Nimai was playing in the Ganga with all of his friends. He was the leader of his friends. They would do whatever he did because they just wanted to please him. Nimai would give so much pleasure to people by his mischief. After going to school in the morning, just around the noontime, he would go to the Ganga with his friends. And as we explained before, thousands and thousands of people were at every bathing ghat at noon taking their baths. And there were many sadhus, brahmins, ascetics, scholars, pundits, professors, and ordinary people also.
And they would do their religious duties. They would set up their little altars. They would have garlands and flowers and chandan, puja. They'd take their baths, purify themselves before coming out. Nimai and his friends, they would go and they would, Nimai, with his little lotus feet, he could kick in such a mystical way that it would make the water splash. You know how when you're swimming and you kick your feet like this, the water splashes? Well, he would so expertly do it. He would aim his kicks so that the people who were bathing in the Ganga, the water would spray right in their eyes, spray right in their face. And then, you know, somebody's trying to chant their Gayatri mantra, all of a sudden, they'd say, Nimai, what are you doing? Get out. And then they'd try to catch him, and he'd swim away really fast. And he'd just be kicking, coming out. And somebody else would be very grave, ascetic, doing his Gayatri mantra. And little Nimai would swim underwater secretly. And then his head would come out right in front of them. And he would go. And spout a full mouthful of water from his mouth, right in their face. Didn't sound like that, though. Other times they'd be chanting Gayatri Mantra, some very stoic professor. And little Nimai would be underwater, and he would grab their feet and pull them. They'd go underwater and disappear. And when all his little friends, he had dozens and dozens of friends, they saw Nimai doing it, they were all doing it. He had a whole little army of mischief makers who were spitting Ganga water in the faces of Brahmins and pulling their feet and doing all this. And after they would come out of the Ganges nice and clean, every single person, Nimai and his friends, would throw sand and cover their bodies with sand. So they'd have to take another bath, and then they'd throw sand again, and they couldn't catch them. So some of these very, very senior, grave Brahmins, they went to Jagannath Mishra. Actually, they loved it. That it was the highlight of their life when Nimai would do these things. They went to Jagannath Mishra just because they wanted to taste the sweetness of complaining about him. Because in the process of complaining, you're feelingly glorifying the Lord's pastime. So even though they didn't know he was the Lord. You see, this is the beauty of Harikatha. When we speak about Krishna, we're actually reliving Krishna's pastimes ourselves. Because these pastimes are absolute. They are not subject to time and place. So they were telling Jagannath Mishra, your little boy, Nimai, for hours, 6 hours a day practically, every day he's doing these things to us. He's kicking water in us. He's throwing sand on us. He's spitting on us. One Brahmin said, he stole my Shivalingam. Another said, he stole my Bhagavad Gita when I was in the water. Another said, he stole my clothes. I came out of the Ganga with my kopan and there was no clothes. Others said, I set up a beautiful little throne for Vishnu. I had my puja paraphernalia. I had garlands. I had boga to offer to Vishnu. I went to take my bath before doing my puja. I come out of the Ganga and Nimai sitting on the throne of Vishnu with the garlands on him, eating the offerings. And as soon as he saw me coming, he smiled and ran away. And then he yelled back. He said, to whom you are making the offerings has just accepted and enjoyed your offerings. Another said, my little son, little tiny boy, I put him on the side of the Ganga, I went inside, and Nimai put water in his ears and made him cry. Another said, I was chanting my Gayatri, and all of a sudden Nimai jumped on my shoulders and then jumped off my shoulders and said, I am Mahesh. Some of the other Brahmins, they say, it's hard for us to tell you this, Jagannath Mishra. Do you know what your son did? The ladies bathe at one ghat. The men bathe at another ghat. Before we go in, we put our set of clothes in a special place. When we all came out, the ladies' clothes were on the men's side and the men's clothes were on the ladies' side. In order to not come back home naked, I had to put on a sari.
What are those little cholis, whatever you call them?
And the ladies were putting on like dhotis. Do you know how much disturbance your son causes us? And he does this all for hours and hours every day. And then some little girls came and they approached Sachimata. And they were smiling. They said, Sachimata, we want to tell you what your Nimai does every day to us. He steals our clothes. He insults us. He splashes us. One little girl said, I came out of the Ganga and my beautiful hair. He threw sticky, itchy okra seeds all over me. And another little girl said, he told me he wants to marry me. And some of the others were telling Sachi that we come to do our pujas, we bring our deities and we have our offerings, and Nimai sits where our deities are, and he says that, give me all your offerings, and I will bless you. I will bless you that you will have a very strong, handsome, loving, kind, generous husband that is a great scholar, and you will have seven children, all full of health, obedient, and charm your hearts. Just give me all your offerings. And some of the girls were thinking, what is this? Who are you to do this? And they took their offerings and ran away. And Nimai yelled at them, if you don't bring back your offerings to me, you will have an old, diseased, deformed husband with four co-wives.
So they all came running. We all came running back and gave our offerings. It seems that this child has some special powers. He does this every day.
Now, so far, we've been keeping this a secret. But if we tell our parents, then they're going to come to you and they're going to be very disturbed.
Sachimata embraced all the little girls. He said, you are all my own little daughters. I will take care of Nimai. And the girls were laughing. They were in such ecstasy explaining Nimai's pastimes. Meanwhile, Jagannath Mishra, he picked up a stick again. He said,
Nimai can't get away with these things? How will he grow up to be a proper gentleman if he's causing so many problems to all these respectable people?
So he went. He started charging toward the Yamuna. Meanwhile, all the little girls from another direction, they were giggling and laughing, and they ran to the Ganga, and they saw little Nimai, and they loved Nimai.
They said, Nimai, your father's coming, because so many complaints were made against you. You better go. You better fly away from here very fast, because your father looks really mad.
And Nimai told his friends, when my father comes, tell him that I haven't come here today. I went home by a different route. And then he left, and everybody left, and he... Meanwhile, Jagannath Mishra arrives, and he sees all the world, children playing, and he's looking around, where's my Nimai? Where's... And the little boy said, he hasn't come today. And all the Brahmins who complained, they were there. And they said, Jagannath Mishra, we only told you these because we're in total love with your little Nimai. All his mischief is the most precious joy of our heart. We cannot calculate your unlimited good fortune that such a child is your own son. Said, whatever we spoke was simply his glorification of the love of our heart. And Jagannath Mishra said, please consider my Nimai all of your sons and forgive him if he does anything wrong. Meanwhile, Nimai comes home from another direction. And he runs into his mother's arms. And his mother sees that his hair is completely dry. It has dust. He has all these little ink spots, all of his body from his school. And there wasn't a trace that he could have possibly taken a bath. And Jagannath Mishra comes. And he was wanting to teach Nimai some lesson. But as soon as Nimai saw Jagannath Mishra, he jumped on Jagannath Mishra's lap and embraced his father, and his father melted helplessly. And Jagannath Mishra said, Nimai, why do you do these things? Huh? These Brahmins, why do you harass them and all these other common people? And aren't you even afraid of Vishnu stealing his offerings? And little Nimai said, what? Did they say those things about me? I didn't even go to the Ganga today, and they're saying these things about me. Today, they will see what I will really do. And then he smiled and jumped off his father's lap and ran back to the Ganga. So our acharyas explain, these people, they were the most fortunate souls that these special, intimate, loving pastimes were not only being revealed to them, but he was giving them intimate entrance. The pastimes of Nimai were absolutely non-different from the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. And his mischief was for one purpose only. In the ultimate, sweetest way, to completely capture the love of these people's hearts. And that is what he has done. And by understanding how Nimai is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and understanding the nature of lila, or transcendental pastimes, they're not of this world. They're not of the ego. Children in this world they're playing because they're trying to find some temporary happiness. But even so, children in this world, they charm our hearts when they're like that. But here is the Atmarama, the totally self-satisfied Rasaraj. He's simply sharing the infinite sweetness of his love with his devotees through these apparently ordinary childlike pastimes. Here in Navadvip, Sri Mayapur Dham. And by hearing these wonderful narrations, which have been the greatest scholars, the greatest ascetics, the most self-realized, enlightened grihastas, sannyasis throughout history, have worshipped these pastimes of Nimai and taste them again and again and again. And by Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj's causeless mercy, he has invited all of us here to Sri Mayapur to bathe in the Ganga of these beautiful narrations, which melt our hearts. Hari. Hari means one who steals. The beautiful names, the beautiful pastimes, the beautiful form, the beautiful qualities of the Lord steal our heart away from all the inauspicious ego, envy, lust, anger, greed, arrogance, illusion. Steal our hearts from all the sufferings, anxieties, and impediments of this world. By hearing these pastimes sincerely and the philosophy behind it, that natural bhakti, prem of our hearts, awakens. Thank you very much.